Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Abba Father. Father, I thank you for this evening. I thank you for the privilege and the honor of being able to deliver your word, Father. Father, I ask that I speak as the oracles of God, Father, in the name of Jesus, Father. Lord, I pray that we as a body and as a congregation would take and listen to what you have to say to us tonight, Father. And Lord, we will give you the honor and the glory, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You know, Sister Dell was talking about love. Why does God always bring us back to this? Because it's the greatest calling that we can walk in as Christians, is to have the love of God flowing out of us. Now, I know that we all love one another, but there are times we are short with one another, and there are times, I'll use Ditter, for instance, that when Ditter misses, sometimes we get on Ditter's nerves and say, "Where were you?" instead of, "Ditter, we missed you, we love you, we sure did miss you." There's a difference that God wants to work on us on. And that is the difference, is that maybe I don't go up to Brother Mike and say, "Where were you?" Maybe I go up to Brother Mike and say, "Brother Mike, I missed you. Is everything okay?" And it's all on our approach of how we represent the gospel, and we represent the kingdom of God, and we represent the love of God. Thank you for the amen. Because we do represent his kingdom. We do represent his love. And we do represent his grace and his peace. So if you have your Bibles, I want you to please turn with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. We're going to talk about love tonight because I can't get away from it. Because even though God is moving and even though God is stirring, we still must walk in love. We still must walk in love. And blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And then there are times, my brother and sister, that we're not so merciful to each other. And God's changing that. But he wants his word to clarify it to us. He wants it to residuate and resound in our hearts and in our ears and in our mind and in our eyes. Ephesians 5:1 says this, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." Verse 2 says, "And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor." I can stop right there. "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us." And Christ loved us with an everlasting love. Christ loved us with a love where he bled and died and hung on a tree. That's what your Jesus did for you and my Jesus did for me. "But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger nor unclean person nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them." Verse 8, "For you were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth." For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. It's time that we are letting God, and I believe that with all my heart, but there's a deeper work of the fruit of the Spirit that God wants to do in each and every one of us. And as we begin to pray and as we begin to come together, God is going to mend and God is going to heal. But we must make a decision. We must make a declaration to walk in love like we've never walked in love before in all of our life. Sometimes we're going to have to love somebody it hurts. Thank you for the amen. Sometimes you're going to walk up and give somebody a hug and it's actually going to hurt you to give that person a hug. But that's love, unconditional. The same love that Christ loved you with, God wants us to love to lost humanity, to dying humanity, and people that are hurting all over the world and all over the United States of America and in the grocery stores and in our jobs God wants us to love those filthy bosses that we have sometimes. Those horrible bosses that we have sometimes. Those bosses that take advantage of us. Those people that work that take advantage of you. God wants you to love them. For you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake, O thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, and be not drunk with wine, where is it in excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart unto the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Not in the fear of the church creed or the church, what we should do, what we shouldn't do, but in the fear of God. And when we speak of God and we speak in the fear of God, we need to submit to one another. If a brother Mike comes to me and I'm going through something and the Lord reveals it to him, because God does still do that in the 21st century. And brother Mike comes to me and he comes to me in love, I'm going to receive it. But if he comes to me and he's pointing the finger and he's brass with me, I'm not going to receive it. But if he comes to me in the spirit of meekness and love, there is no defense, as Sister Dell said earlier, against love. We must love the unlovable. We must love the unworthy. We must love the undesirable. That is when the love of God is flowing in us and through us, is when we can love. When we can love. I heard of a minister. He got him to minister a sermon, and all he said is, this is my commandment, that you love one another, and he sat down. And that is a commandment, that we love one another. It is not an option for me to love Brother Terry. It is not an option for me to love Brother Mike or Sister Pat. It is a commandment that we love one another. And God is moving by his Spirit in this place, and God is moving, and the enemy is trying to raise his ugly head. But I'm going to stand up here, and I'm going to declare that the enemy is defeated, and I'm going to tell you that we have been charged by Almighty God to walk in love. Not by the preacher, not by Brother Sean, but by Almighty God to walk in love. If I can't love my brother Mike, who I do see, how am I going to love God who I don't see, it says in 1 John. We've got to love one another. We've got to be patient with one another. And that's a whole nother subject. But we must be patient with one another. Aren't you glad Jesus is patient with you? Because he's patient with me. When sometimes he just hit me square over the head. God is patient. God is patient with us. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8 says this. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that you are thereunto called, and that you should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their praise. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you, if ye be followers of that which is good? Now there's a lot of things out there that they say that are good, and there's a lot of things out there that are bad. And God says if we're doing the good things, we're going to have his love and we're going to have his blessing. But my brother and sister, I am walking this out firsthand of having to love when I really don't want to. I'm having to walk it out, and I'm having to love, and I'm having to bite my tongue, and I'm having to hold my peace and let the Lord fight my battle. Because I'm learning in my young age that if the Holy Spirit don't change us, we're not getting changed. I can come up to Brother Mike until I'm blue in the face, and I can nag him, and I can nag him, and I can nag him, but it's not going to change Brother Mike. But what will change Brother Mike is the very Spirit of God and the very love of God. That will change. The Holy Spirit's job is to convict, not me and not Brother Mike. Brother Mike can't convict me, but the Holy Ghost can. And I can't convict Brother Mike, but the Holy Ghost can. And it's time that we let the Holy Spirit do His job. And in the past, I'm going to be honest, I've tried to be the Holy Ghost, and I'm sorry to each and every one of you. We can't let, just because we think we might be right, we got to let the Holy Spirit do its job. We ain't Him, and I don't want to be Him. I want to be like Him, but we got to let the Holy Spirit do His job. When people come in that door, they ain't been here in a while. A hug is sometimes all they need. It's all you have to say is a hug. We missed you. That's all. And this is growing pains, my brother and sister. But it's okay. It's well worth the growing pains to see what God is going to do and the way that God is going to manifest Himself to each and every one of us. But I'm going to be honest and just say, hey, in times past, I've tried to be the Holy Spirit. And I'm learning that I don't want to be the Holy Spirit because I flub things up. I get in the way of God, and you get in the way of God. And we need to get out of the way and let God be God, and let the Holy Spirit be the Holy Spirit. This is my commandment, that you love one another. We've got to love one another. And I know that we do, but our love's got to get deeper and stronger as the days ahead are upon us. Love of a Christian toward God, the first commandment, Matthew 22, verse 37 and 38. We've got to love with all of our heart. We've got to love God first with all of our heart, and everything else will fall into place. Matthew 22, 37. We've got to love not out of ritual, but out of genuineness. Mark 12, 31 through 33. God's love will give us boldness. God's love will give us boldness to go before the throne of grace. God's love will conquer those things in our lives that need conquering. It will conquer those things in your unsaved loved one's life that it needs conquering. That, why do you think the scriptures say it's the chaste conversation of the wife that wins the unbelieving husband? It's not the nagging wife. It's not the browbeating wife. It's not the wife that goes home and puts their fist in their husband's face. But it's the wife that goes home and puts her arms around her husband and says, I love you, and gives him a kiss on the cheek, whether he comes to church or not. That is exactly why the scripture says it's a chaste conversation of the wife. Because it's the wife that goes in and prays and gives it to God. And it's the husband that goes in and prays and gives it to God. Our love toward Christ is a true sign of faith. John 8:42 is manifested in obedience. John 14:15, 21, and 23. Our true love, it'll lead to service. Oh, this is a good one. This is a good one. It will lead to service. So that means people will want to work in a church and not just sit on the pew and just come and get fed. But it will lead to service. You'll have a heart of, hey, pastor, what can I do for you? What can I do for you? Is there anything that I can do? That's what true love is. It, towards others, it's a second command. Matthew 22, 37 and 39, commanded by Christ, John 13, 34. God's love is objective of the Father, John 14, 31. Believers, Galatians 2, 20, and the church, Ephesians 5, 25. It's important that we learn that we're not the Holy Ghost. I can't say that enough. I've been here a long time with you guys, and you guys have been with me. And we've seen God change each and every one of us. And there have been times we've all foolish jested and maybe we shouldn't have, and maybe we should have just been more loving. You know, sometimes you need to look inwardly. I preached a message a while back that says, you know, I've heard it said my whole life, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And I have to disagree with that, because there are some things that need fixing. You don't go down 275 on four tires with two lug nuts on each tire because it's dangerous. There are things that are dangerous if we don't deal with them as ministers and as Christians and as brothers and sisters in Christ and as men and women of God. There are some things that we just need to deal with and we need to handle as men and women of God. But it's important that we love one another. It's by this that they're going to know that we're His disciples. Not whether we go to that church or this church, but it's whether I have love for all of you and you have love for me. It's sometimes I just wish that God would take a big old wooby and just throw it on everybody and just protect us from all the hurts of life, all the distractions, all the hurts and all the wants and all the things in our flesh that make us the weak people sometimes that we are. Because we still have to deal with flesh. Sometimes flesh don't want to love. Sometimes flesh don't want to forgive. But the Bible says we're no more debtors to the flesh in the book of Romans. So when you're feeling that way, you need to ask God to help you and not be a debtor to the flesh, and ask the Holy Spirit to take control of the situation. It's important that we let God do His job. All God told us to do was love. He didn't necessarily tell me to correct Brother Mike. He told me to love Brother Mike. That doesn't mean there's not a spirit, there's not a ministry of warning. But the ultimate commandment is love. Because that is warning. Because when I come up and I love him, it's a warning. I don't have to say anything sometimes. Sometimes I just got to love and let God love through me to Brother Mike. God's love will break down barriers. God's love will break down barriers. If there's any barriers in anybody's heart tonight, God will break those barriers down through His love. Some of you in here might still be hurting and you didn't know it. There might be wounds that you've had and you didn't know that they were there. And God wants to pour oil and wine into those wounds so you can be the loving Christian that God wants you to be. So that you can be Christ-like and not flesh-like. Because there's a huge difference between us being like our flesh and being like our God and being like Christ. And I know that it's quiet in here, and that's okay. Because God's moving, God's brewing, and God's stirring. And you know what? When God comes to us and He holds us accountable, I thank God that He loves us enough to hold us accountable. I don't know about you, but I'm kind of glad that God loves us enough to hold us accountable to love one another. And you know, for many years, my dad says, if we bite and devour one another, we're consumed one another. For many years, he said that. And if in many years, there's been a healing process in my own father. And I thank God to see what God has done in Brother Terry in the last 6 months. Because he's allowing the Holy Spirit to work. Bema finally got out of the way and let the Holy Spirit do his job. I'm serious when I say too many times we try to be the Holy Spirit. And it's not easy for me to say this because I love each and every one of you. But I've got to say it because I do love you. Because God's got our number. I don't think you heard me. God has our little number at the Holy Church of God. And many years we've all done it. Every one of us have done it. Well, I don't believe they should do this or that. We're not the Holy Spirit. We're not the Holy Spirit. There's one Spirit. And we ain't it. It lives in us. But we ain't it. There's one God. There's one Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. One Savior. One Lord. And one Spirit. Jesus and the disciples were in a town. The disciples wanted to call fire down on some people, and Jesus says, you don't know what spirit you're of. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. I want to be a man that stands for righteousness, stands for truth, stands for love, and lets mercy flow out of my life. And it's not an easy task when it seems like the walls are caving in and it seems like the enemy's got the upper hand. But I'm telling you that through God's love and through God's grace, God will prevail. But we have to allow Him to love through us. First, I can't love you guys if I don't let Him love me. Thank you for the amen. If you don't, throughout the week, let God love on you, you're not going to do any good to your bosses at work, to your unsaved loved ones at home and that you intermingle with. We must let God love on us first. We must receive God's love so that we can go out and give it and be, say, as Paul and Peter, silver and gold have I none, but I do have God's love. And where God's love flows, mighty rivers of His Spirit follow. Mighty rivers of His Spirit follow. We've got to be sober. We've got to be vigilant. We've got to begin to look on all sides, my brother and sister. Brother Terry talked about warfare. Sister Dell talked about it. There is no greater warfare than us loving one another. Not quitting each other, but loving one another. We have got to love one another. It don't matter if Brother Mike comes up to me and rips out my heart, puts it on the ground, stamps on it. The Bible says I've got to forgive and I've got to love him. I've got to forgive him and love him. Whether he ever asked me to forgive him or not, he asked my forgiveness or not, I've still got to forgive him and I've still got to love him. And so many people today don't understand that it is their responsibility to forgive and it is their responsibility to love. So many people go to other churches thinking that they're going to get healed, thinking that that God is going to pour oil and wine into the wounds, when in fact, the greater testimony is them blooming and staying where they're planted and letting God heal them right where they're at. Because you cannot tell me that God is healing you and you're still talking about past hurts that happened 3 and 4 years ago. That is not healing. That is not healing. Healing is when Brother Mike and I have had aught and I've let God heal me and I see him in the mall and I purposely go up and I shake his hand and I hug his neck. That is healing, my brother and sister. Healing is not staying away from a body of believers that say that they've hurt me and that they've crushed me. That is not healing. Or I've got to get away from this certain person because they're driving me nuts. I've got to get away from them or God can't heal me. We limit the very hand of God. And we've all seen it happen. We've all seen it happen. So I want to ask you, and I know there have been a lot of people that have left this congregation. And this isn't going to be easy for me to say, but I really believe this with all my heart. We've done fair with loving people. Brother Sean, how can you say that? Because we struggle with walking in love, each and every one of us. And God wants us to look inwardly and ask ourselves and examine ourselves, am I really walking in the love of God, in the love of Christ? And this is something I had to ask myself today in the room. Am I really walking in love? Are you really walking in the love of God? Because it'll make a difference in my life, and it'll make a difference in your life. And it is making a difference. But as a body, we've got to come together and bond more, and we've got to love more. Had one amen and a few bunch of nasty looks. I know this isn't good on the flesh, but if we want revival, we'll learn to walk in love if we really want revival. And I mean really walk in the love of God, not the love of Brother Sean, not the love of Brother Terry, but the love of Christ, because there is a difference. My love will fail you guys, but His love won't. My love for you is short, and your love for me is short, but His love is not. There is agape love, and there is phileo love. And too many times, my brother and sister, we walk around with phileo, and God wants us to walk around with agape love for a lost, damned, and dying world. And agape love one to another. We've got to walk in love. We've got to let love cover Terry's multitude of sins and my multitude of sins and your multitude of sins, Ditter. There is a love that covers a multitude of sins. There is a love that covers a multitude of sins. Well, Brother Sean, you don't know what they did to me. I don't have to know. God's Word, your Master, your Lord, your Savior says you need to forgive and you need to love them. Doesn't matter. I don't have to know the circumstances. All I need to know is, are you walking in love? And are you doing what the B-I-B-L-E says to do? And that's for us to forgive one another. The Bible says to be quick to repent and be quick to forgive. We can't let bitterness set in. We can't let our emotions get in, because the time is too late. The hour is too late. Our emotions get in the way and it stops the Spirit of God. I struggle with my emotions not getting in the way. I'll be very, very honest. I have a very, very hot temper that I'm asking God to help me with. Because when it gets in the way, Spirit of God can't move in my home, and I want it to. Don't look at me like you're so self-righteous, because you have your areas too. I'm just one of those people. Is what you see is what you get. And how can you say that, Brother Sean? Because God sees me when I'm at home. Ain't nothing hid from His eyes. We can come here and we can, y'all women can put on the makeup and the lipstick, and us men can put on cologne and some deodorant, but there ain't nothing hid from Him. He sees everything. He sees everything that we do. He knows if we're being for real, if we were really genuinely want to walk in love, and He knows if we don't. And He knows if we really haven't forgiven when we've said we have. Because it's an evident that we forgive one another. It's an evident. It's a mandate from your Lord and Savior that I've got to forgive you and you've got to forgive me. And we have to forgive each other. And we have to walk in love. I didn't write this book. I'm just a messenger. But I'm serious about walking in love. This is probably going to be the most trying time for my life, is to walk in love right now as we speak. I'm just going to be very honest. But I can do it by the helping grace of God. And only by the helping grace of God can I do it and achieve it. I cannot walk up to Brother Mike and say, bless God. Bless God, you got to do what the Word says. I can't do that. I didn't mean to hit you so hard, brother. I'm sorry. See, I'm glad he's walking in forgiveness, because he might have got up and knocked me out. But we can't do that to each other. Sorry, brother. But see, and in times past, we've all done that. In times past, we've all done that. And God wants to address it, and God wants to deal with it. Because He wants to move among us. He's not here to hinder the flow. He wants to see us overflow. There's a difference. And I'm telling you by the Spirit of God, that if we line up with that, His Word, and get our emotions out of the way, He's going to take care of everything that He needs to take care of. God is. Don't so much worry. Don't look at me like, oh, poor old Brother Sean's going through it. Because I have a God. I have a God that ministers to me. I have a God that when I get alone on my way to work and I get alone in my home, God ministers to me. So it's not poor old Brother Sean. I will be okay. Go after the ones that are hurting. Those are the ones that we need to say poor, not we're serving Jesus and we're on fire. It's okay. We'll be okay. I'll be okay and you'll be okay. We don't want to be, like it's been said for many years, the church is the only ones that leave the wounded to die. And God wants us to be a place of restoration where people can be healed and people can be delivered and they can come and oil and wine, because there is a balm of Gilead and there can be oil and wine to pour into people's wounds. Brother Mike is healed today. God poured oil and wine into this young man's life when he was a very young man. Been through some tragedy. Most people would have ended up on drugs and killed themselves, but Mike found Christ, and thank God that he did, and he allowed Christ to work in his life. Because if it hadn't been, he would have been strung out on drugs, and he might not be sitting here tonight. That's what the power of his love will do. God is power. God has power. But he is love. God has all the power in the world. He created the universe. But he is genuine, unidentified, unadulterated love. God is love. And if there's a sign that I see when I go down Little Mary sometimes, and it says, love God, love people. You cannot love God without loving people. Because he loves people. And he doesn't wish that any perish, but that all come to the knowledge, saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. So, if you've been having a problem loving somebody, you need to ask the Holy Spirit to help you. Because there's always that somebody that just gets under your skin. There's always that one that, well, I'm not going to love them, bless God, unless they change. That is not love. That is not love. We can't make ultimatums that we can't deliver upon ourselves. Because I can't say that I'm not going to fail Brother Terry tomorrow or Brother Mike tomorrow. All I can do is live my life the best. But if we love each other and they come to me and they tell me that I offended them, then my responsibility is to ask their forgiveness and mean it with my heart. Be followers, therefore, as God. Be, therefore, followers of God as dear children, and walk in love. Jesus said, suffer the little children to come unto me. Jesus also said this, that unless we become like a child, we can't even enter into the kingdom of God. So not only does God want us to love each other, isn't it amazing that over here in the Gospels it says, unless we become like a child, we can't inherit the kingdom of God. And over here in Ephesians it says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, because we're his children. And we need to be like a child, because a child's innocent. A child has no guile. A child has no malice. A child's got a pure heart, and they'll tell it to us like it is. Sometime, even when we don't want to hear it, because a child, there is no guile. That's why God wants us to be like little children. It's not to hurt us, it's to help us. But we have to love one another. And I mean, get it settled in your heart that you're going to love me and I'm going to love you no matter what. Because I'm telling you, we have an adversary. And as we begin to pray, he's going to rear his ugly head. And I'm telling you, we're going to have to walk in love. We're going to have to buckle down. And we're going to have to get in the trenches and love one another. Don't think the enemy's going to just let a move of God happen and him not try to throw a wrench, a monkey wrench, into the works. He's very good at his game, unfortunately. And his time would be on our game and love one another. Right now there's a game being played. Whoever wants it the most is going to win the Super Bowl. Whoever has that love on a football team to want to win, and they're jiving and everything's clicking because they all have one goal in mind, and that's to win. And that's the same thing God wants us to do, is to have the same goal so that we can win, so that we can have victories like we've never had here at the Holy Church of God before. We've had some good ones, but we're going to have some better ones as we begin to walk in love and we love one another. And when Ditter's out for 6 weeks, we still love her. And we still walk up to her and just wrap our arms around her and say, Ditter, I loved you. I missed you. And I'm not saying that to hurt your feelings, dear. I'm just using it as an illustration. I have been guilty of not loving like I should and trying to be the Holy Spirit. I'll be the first to admit it, because I want to see God move. I want to see the Holy Spirit do His job. Oh, because when He does it, when He does it, He moves miraculously. And He moves mightily. Those walls and those mountains that stand before you, they begin to fall flat when the Holy Spirit begins to do His job. Those walls begin to fall flat when the Holy Ghost does His job. Now, why do you think the men and women, when they looked for people to minister and to be elders, they looked for people that were full of the Holy Ghost? Why? Because they knew that if they were full of the Holy Ghost, they would be subject to God's word, and they would love one to, they would love each other. And that is all I have to say. Because I'm not the Holy Spirit, and I'm not going to try to be Him. My part's done. Would you please stand? Appreciate you, Brother Doug. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Abba Father. I want everybody to just close their eyes. Just close your eyes. And I want you to let God love you and love on you. Because He'll change you for tomorrow if you let Him love on you and let Him love through you. There is nothing that we cannot get through with God's love and God's grace. You can give us something to worship with, Doug, but I want everybody in here to just let God love.